You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. All right, everybody. Welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. Episode 120. I'm John Rabin, and I appreciate you coming by yet again for your weekly dose of my rambling. I appreciate doing it for you, but also mainly for me. Sort of gives me a little opportunity to kind of just vent into the wind, but with the record button on. And just kind of, or ramble in the wind when I'm not venting. I vary between rambling and venting. Ranting and rambling. I vary between those two. I have two modes. I'm currently in the rambling mode, if you haven't caught on. If you're just joining me for the first time, welcome. Is this a recovery podcast? Yes. I occasionally talk about it. I am still sober, and recovery and sobriety is on my mind. I am not a 12-stepper, but I am not against them. I support any means to keep you from dying and being able to function in some fashion. So I'm all about that. Good for you. If you're sober again out for yet another day out there, good for you guys. Glad you're staying sober. If you're not a sober person, but you're hanging in there, thank you for staying sane and for joining me, because for some reason you find me entertaining, and because of that, I think you're a great person. Because I, like everyone else, am self-centered. Hey, I'm going to get this out of the way. The really serious shit that I've got this week, and then we'll go into the, let's talk about the other kind of things. My father is in the hospital and tested positive for COVID-19. So that's a fucking gut punch. He is in his early 70s and is diabetic, type 2 diabetes, and had a heart attack last year. So this is, extra scary, obviously. Comforting my brother is the assistant coach. My dad still coaches football, by the way. He's up for six-man football. He's won championships in six-man football and redesigned offense and defense strategy for, six-man football that has been adopted in many other different leagues, like that kind of, he's a six-man football legend kind of shit. But even besides that, he's just an amazing man. As the kids that have been coached by him for decades would attest to. My brother is an assistant coach for him. He tested negative. He got his test back today. So that's good. But it's just one of those things that, he's doing all right. They're keeping an eye on him. He was supposed to go home today, but there was a slight fluctuation in oxygen level, so they're going to keep him another day and keep an eye on him. So if you believe in a higher power and you pray to that higher power, please pray to your God. If you don't, but you believe that that we're all connected in some fashion, to where, brain power, our brains are, extremely powerful, that there is some kind of weird connection that we don't fully understand, send positive thoughts to my dad. If you don't believe in that at all, and you just think that we just go until we're biologically dead and there is no soul, thanks for playing. All right, now, but you know, that's it's it really the thing that sucks besides worry and everything else, because you like is you just kind of when it hits close, like I'm sure it's hit close to home to everybody who's listening, maybe even you. Then I mean, that's the main thing, is that there's no way to know where it came from, you know, especially if you're trying, you're actively trying to stay safe, like my you know, like my dad and stepmom were. We're still waiting on the test, my stepmom's test, to come back. So we're pretty sure that she's, you know, that she's positive, because she's got like slight symptoms, but we don't know. Hopefully not. But it's just weird, because you start thinking about, well, where, you know, where did it come from? Where do you get it? You know, did he get it from coaching? Because like my gut tells me, you know, that's where he got it. He got it from doing that, because he's not teaching, but he's coaching part time, and he stays active, but he's been actively being safe, trying to be safe. And it's one of those things where you think about, you know, did he get it from a kid who got it from his parents who aren't doing anything because they don't believe it's real, or they're not taking it seriously? You know, it's that kind of shit that just kind of infuriates you. But we don't, but, or not, you know, maybe he, you know, who knows? But you start really going off the rails when you really start thinking about it, and it really makes you angry. You know, did he get it from somebody who is encouraged to not be safe because of, you know, politicians that they love aren't safe, you know, and you just you get angry at the world. And it's just ridiculous. It's just, I don't like the idea of the politicizing safety. And I understand why people don't, I've said it before, I understand why people don't want to wear masks, because I come from the fuck you, I won't do what you tell me generation. So I understand when the government and when like an organization and people you don't like are saying, you need to do this, because your initial reaction is, fuck you. I get that. Totally get it. And also there's like this gut feeling inside of you that how the fuck does wearing a cutout piece from a t-shirt on my face going to save me? Because that sounds dumb. Just immediately your gut reaction. But see, that's not the whole picture. The whole idea is covering your mouth and your nose is part of a bigger picture of safety, the social distancing thing, but also keeping yourself out of situations. Like I said, I think this, like the 6 foot thing, I think is outdated. I've read different articles on like scientists going, hey, you're basing 6 feet off of a 40-year-old science, that it's really, you got to give even more space, and you got to keep, it's a more nuanced, complex idea of staying out of big groups, in, you know, staying out of indoors with other people with no ventilation, maybe at night, you know, different kinds of things that, so it's not a don't wear mask or just wear mask. It's got to be everything. You got to work on your immune system. You got to stay away from, distance from people so that you're not spitting on them when you're talking to them. Maybe don't talk to people face to face for prolonged periods of time in a non-ventilated area, not in sunlight, so that UV lights can't, you know, aren't able to kill the motherfuckers, you know, in the air, and you know, just stuff like that. You have to do a whole bunch of things and just be safe. But and I know, and sorry to preach to the choir for that, for a lot of you, it's just you know, it's frustrating. But I'm hoping that that things go well. The one thing, because he had texted me, and he texted me something worrisome. He texted me back, because he's in the hospital, but he's replying back on his phone. And he texted me that it's going to be okay because Jesus is walking, walks with him and is with him. And he's always been with him. But the problem with that is that I'm like, hey, don't get comforted. Hey, I don't like that. You got to fight. I'm like, don't be comforted by your God. Like, that makes me, I'm like, hey, don't, let's leave Jesus out of this. It's going to comfort you too much that your Lord and Savior is with you and you're going to relax. I don't need you relaxed. I need you pissed off and grumpy. I need you grizzled, Dad, like you are. It was kind of my thought. So I was a little worried by that. But then my stepmom had texted me and said, hey, don't you guys worry about your father. He just told me that we're going to get through this, that he's tougher than some damn virus. And I went, there he is. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I need. I need, strong-willed, stubborn father. That's what I want. So, yay. So I've been noticing that, and I'm sure you've noticed this too, there's a lot of people in entertainment in different facets that are out of work. I mean, that are hit hard. I saw a post talking about the different people who are just all the, so many people who are out of work in the entertainment industry, behind the scenes, not just, performers, but just behind the scenes people, for live, music. But even big performers Cirque du Soleil is bankrupt. Like, what? Like, they're all out of a job, which is weird to me that, a contortionist is now a barista. Hopefully, figure they can, the crazy performers out of that, the sword swallowing, whatever the hell they do, will figure out how to monetize a YouTube type of situation. I don't know. But movies aren't being made really, lower budget. And the movie thing really doesn't bother me from a selfish point of view. When it comes to, not a whole lot of good movies coming out. I mean, there are some, and then, they pop up on the streaming services and they're getting made somehow, slowly but surely, some of them, which is why you're seeing, people you used to remember as, blockbuster, big-time movie stars appearing in stuff that just pops up on Netflix, exclusive to HBO Max. Oh, shit, I don't pay $15 a month. But you can see that it's affecting people because I'm just seeing stuff, just random people doing different projects that they can do just to do something. So you got all the, we're going to do live reads from, with celebrities over YouTube for charity or whatever, just so that people can get their face out there. Going, hey, I'm reading it for Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Why? Bored? Need attention? Oh, I get it. I totally get it. But, Ewan McGregor is riding a, motorcycle in a reality something or other. Like, okay. Random assortment of so many different types of people have a podcast. Like, I got in this shit late in the game. Late in the game, but I've still had this for over 2 years, this podcast, and the number of podcasts that have started after, even this, obviously during this year, I mean, it makes sense, but it's just, you know, Trump's ex-lawyer has a podcast. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, everybody has a podcast. Just all different kinds of, you know, reality shows and weird projects just to get people going. And it just, it's going to be interesting to see, I mean, what is, you know, if we ever get back closer to normal, I don't know. But just where entertainment has shaped or devolved into. And the movie, like I said, the movie thing doesn't bother me that much because we have 50 years of movies that we could be watching. You can go backwards. It's actually okay. But I'm really, you know, I'm fine with it because they finished off the, you know, Avengers Endgame in time. Boy, how shitty would that have been? Like right before the, you know, Infinity War Part 2 is about to come out. Fucking COVID hits and they push it. Well, we got to make money, so it's going to push it back another year. So angry people would be, which is kind of bullshit because I've talked about how that I know I've talked about it at one point where as I when I was a kid, Star Wars was all the shit was made by hand. So it took 3 years to make each movie. So at the end of Empire Strikes Back, you know, Han Solo is frozen in carbonite and Boba Fett has him. And it looks like, you know, and the bad guys kind of win at the end of that episode, at that movie. And you're like, fuck. I mean, I was eight, so maybe not fuck. Like, drat. So, you know, they don't. But I had to wait 3 years to find out what happened. Some fear. Nobody could do that nowadays. You can wait 3 years to find out how something ends. You wouldn't stand for it. Imagine waiting 3 years for the final season of a show you're watching. Oh, it would drive you insane. But I'm really happy because with movies, I'm satisfied with, you know, I'm fine with no new movies coming out. There are going to be new movies. But if there weren't, I'd be fine because I already got Mad Max Thunder Road and I got Blade Runner 2049. You know, I got my Blade Runner sequel and my Mad Max sequel. Like, my childhood has been just like full circle. It's been done. You took care of it. You didn't fuck it up. You didn't Indiana Jones crystal skull that motherfucker. I'm thrilled. I'm like, all right, I can die a happy man on a franchise level, on a franchise love level. I'm good. I'm all right. But I just it's interesting to see where, you know, what people are doing, what like what my favorite comedians are going to do outside of standard stand-up. Because like me personally as an artist, and I mean, I'm technically an artist, but, you know, but also in my head, I'm like artist with quotations. You know, I don't know about stand-up because I don't think I would do well doing comedy in sunlight. That's fucking strange. In a well-lit area outside. I'm really, my humor works really well in the dank. The dank, Mo, the dank. That's really well. That's how I work. So it's just strange to me, the idea of doing it, you know, like I've seen the different shows and they're like, hey, would you like to do comedy in front of vehicles? Man, am I that hard up for attention that I would perform at a drive-in? I don't think I am. I mean, I'm a little hard up for attention, but I think this podcast takes care of that. It's another benefit of this podcast is it prevents me. It helps get me through so that I don't have to perform in a park at 2 p.m. Whew. You know what it made me think in a related matter? Because I was, you know, thinking about celebrities doing all kinds of weird whatever because they're celebrities and they're trying to get, you know, trying to get paid, they're trying to get their attention fixed, trying to be remain relevant, whatever they can do. Like, hey, everybody, please follow me on Instagram. Look, selfie or whatever, which I totally get, you know. You're accustomed to that lifestyle. You're accustomed to those likes or whatever, that attention, that dopamine rush. You're accustomed to that every day. And then now you got to stay inside or whatever. Like, I get it. But it got me thinking about how the reason that one of the main reasons why there's been classism, where you have like a, you know, the royalties away, like the rich are way away from the poor people, and you know, gated communities and keep those out, you know, the unwanted out and all that, and but you know, on that level. And then you've got like but like celebrities, like once like entertainment industry and celebrities, you know, or like sporting celebrity, you know, big sports stars, just stars, there's this separation because you got to separate them, you know, from the masses. You got to keep, you know, those Elvis Presley level superstar musicians away from these crowds. You got to keep the Beatles away from all the, you know, the crowds that just want to mob and, you know, tear them to pieces. Like, I've got a finger. I hope it's not Ringo's or whatever. You know, you got to kind of keep them apart. So, you know, for their safety. But also because, you know, there's a lot of people in the masses who are just kind of garbage people that just, this guy's creeping me the fuck out. This guy, he's got nothing else to do but to follow me around. Like, you got to have security. You got to keep them. You got to keep space away from the object. You got to keep the idol away from the fans. So you have the fan club where it's like, I'm kind of connected. We, you know, that was the whole thing, you know, before me. And when I was growing up, before the internet, the whole idea, you know, you had fan clubs. First, different celebrities and, you know, Teen Beat for those type of people, because, you know, that kept you, it gave you the illusion that you were connected, that you could write letters, you know, to whoever you liked, you know, and it's, you know, oh, I'm so, you know, connected, you know, oh, I love you, Eddie Vedder, or whatever the fuck, right? But so with the internet, I don't know, you had a little bit more connection at first. I guess email, you could kind of get closer and closer to people on the email. But then social media, holy shit. You could comment under things on main pages, and there'd be a good chance that you might be seen by this person that you are following, that you worship or hate. Either way, right? But then Twitter, almost level playing field. That's actually, people consider it the positive thing about Twitter is that everybody's on the same level. I think it's a negative. Some people are like, you could actually at a celebrity and they could see it. Yeah, you could harass them. Great. That's awesome. I don't particularly, you know, care for that idea. Well, that was the thing, is that with what we've seen, what Twitter has become over 13 years or whatever, like how it, what it's turned into, I think I can safely say that there's a reason you have to separate a group that you idolize from everybody else. You just, you know, I think we should go back. I think it's, at least I'm doing that. And that's why I've completely stayed off of Twitter. I'm weaning myself off of Facebook almost entirely, except for like obligatory, you know, promotions. Just because it's turned out that when you give everyone an equal voice, It's really noisy and unproductive, and it sucks. It's like you idolize people that you like for a reason. They may not be like your image of somebody that you think is amazing may not be an accurate representation of who they are, but they don't have to be, you know. I don't know who David Bowie was, you know, what he was like as a person, but I consider him the fucking goat when it comes to, you know, rock and roll, songwriter, performer, artist, everything. So, and that's fine. I don't have to have an accurate representation of who he was completely as a person. My view of him is fine. He doesn't give a shit. He's dead. But I've got, or he's in space with aliens, whatever you want to believe. But that's the whole point, is they don't have to be, you don't have to know all the truth and the reality if it's just a somebody, you know, they're just a symbol to you for something. If it makes you feel better, then it's done, then that's fine, right? So with that in mind, the last thing I need is, if I'm following somebody that I truly admire in a hero worship level, the last thing I need is somebody with an equally loud voice who's a fucking dipshit commenting under everything that the person that I'm admiring is saying. The last thing I need to hear or read are, you know, I don't need, you know, a gas station attendant telling me about politics on a post about music. Like, I don't understand why, you know, it's completely ridiculous. This is not, everybody deserves to be heard, is what I'm getting. You have to separate yourself from the audience, yeah, a little bit. There has to be, from performer and audience. You can't, you know, like let the fans of the thing that you like be a vague notion. I like Tool. I don't like Tool fans. I like a lot of things that the fans of them, you know, skateboarding, vaping, all of these things that I like, the people who also like it are shitty. Don't like them. I've never gone to a vaping conference. I'm not going to hang out with other skaters. Fucking dicks. I don't like them. They're way younger than me. There's that as well, a lot of them. Although we're at this point now where I see them, there's a lot of skaters in their 40s, man. It's great, I guess. I mean, you know, it's great that they can keep going, or they have just really great health care. I don't know how they do it. They're really taking they're risking their shit. I don't understand how they can do that. I've had to kind of back off and go, look, I can't even just recreationally skate down the street. I don't trust my balance at my age. I just don't do it. Anyway, I don't think I had a point other than not everybody deserves to be heard. Imagine a town hall meeting with no leader and everybody gets to say something. The most unproductive town meeting. Yeah, town hall meetings are unproductive. I defy you to find a town hall meeting where something productive came out of it. I think it's just like it's the pander hour. Let's pretend that we give a shit what the townspeople have to say. You, sir, go ahead. Well, I think that, and you just tune out. And you're like, yeah. Well, thank you for your support. Give us money. All right. Well, look at the time here. Did I have other things I wanted to do? Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll end on this. I did have one other thing. I talked about this guy this neighbor of mine that I hated that finally moved out. I just saw him today. He came back to to my apartment complex just to throw a bunch of stuff in the dumpster. And that made me really angry. Just, sometimes I look for things to make me upset. Like trivial things. And that seems trivial. But also, the reason that it makes... Because it inconveniences the rest of us. Because of... And what he did is very, you know, it's minuscule. It's like, it's fine. You know, this makes it easy for me. I get to get rid of my garbage at my new place, at my old place. I used to live here. It's kind of okay. It's not okay. You don't live here anymore, fucker. And that is the core of what is wrong with our society, in my opinion. I think that everything comes down to... it's not, you know, it's not good and evil. It's I'm doing this because it's easy on me and I don't care who it inconveniences. And when everybody looks after their own interests without consideration for others, it just all compounds, and that's why things suck. So that's really my thing is the, you know, people say, you know, kindness. This is what's the, you know, this is what's going to help save the world is a little kindness. I think you're shooting a little high. I think you should try staying in your own lane. Try a little stay in your own lane. Don't affect anybody else. Quit swerving into my lane with your shit. That's what. You know, let's start with stay in your own lane. We'll try kindness once we master the don't fuck with me kind of level, then we'll try kindness. That's all I'm saying. All right, guys. appreciate it. Thanks for coming by. We'll see you next week. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Rabin. Later.